Hi, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's toll free, 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here is your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to Live with Pastor Al. I missed my cue there. You can tell it's live. The music going on a little bit longer than usual there. And I missed the sound of the lead in there, and I was waiting for it. So, but at any rate, good to be with you this afternoon. I'm Pastor Al Davis, and I'm your host here. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you this afternoon. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And if you prefer, the local number is 216-901-0933. If you've got a question about current events or the Bible in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you this afternoon. Let's open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be with you here this, or to be with the program this afternoon. Just pray that you bless and use us for your glory to be a witness and a blessing to people this afternoon. And again, we just thank you for the opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good afternoon again. As I said, welcome. This is Pastor Al, and you know, you get off your mark there a little bit, I guess, and it gets you kind of thrown. But glad to be with you. What a gorgeous day here in Northeast Ohio. We've had some beautiful days this past week, and it looks like tomorrow's going to be pretty good. Rain's coming in tomorrow night, but I hope you get out and enjoy some of this weather. And I want to thank Pastor John Lutz in the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood for allowing me to guest on their previous program, the 2 o'clock until 1:30, and just before this program, and good to be on here again. I'm glad that I happened to look up from what I was reading to realize I was on the air, but I hope you'll be able to stick with us here until 2 o'clock, and a lot going on in the world, and if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, encourage you to give us a call. We have Greg, who's been patiently waiting for me to realize I was on the air. So, Greg, welcome to the program this afternoon.
Well, thank you, Pastor Al.
Hi, Greg.
I heard you're earlier in the last half hour, and you were talking about why people make it difficult to read the Word, and I come across a verse in James chapter 1, verse 21.
All right.
And I think, you know, when I accepted Jesus Christ and I realized he died on the cross for me, he was buried 3 days and he rose from the dead. And I didn't understand why he did that, because I was religious, but I wasn't saved. Mm-hmm. Back years ago. And at that time, I wanted to know God. And I figured, what could be better than to know God and have a relationship with him before I die.
Right.
And my desire to want to know God drove me to the Bible. And I didn't think about difficult words, and I didn't look for reasons not to read, because my desire was to want to know God. And
right.
In that pursuit, I picked up the Bible. Somebody gave me a Bible, and I just read it, and I drank it like the milk cow you were talking about earlier.
Right.
You know, the milk kind that fed me the Word of God. And when I came across verse 21 earlier today, I come across a word called engrafted. And, mm-hmm. and I talked to a college student not too long ago, and he didn't even know what the word engrafted was. And most farmers out there, or those that work in the vineyards, understand what grafting is, but I think a lot of people don't understand what the word grafting is. And
right.
I had a question in verse 21, and I think another reason, too, people don't come to study the Word of God is because there's something else in their heart. And verse 21 brings it out. It says, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity. That's a crazy word, superfluity.
Mm-hmm.
Superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. And I was just wondering why God used the word engrafted word rather than just word. I was just, you know, one of the suggestions I had is, you think possibly he said engrafted because it's into our tongue or our language?
Well, I look at some of these words, again, like I was saying, for those that did not hear our previous program, I look at some of these things as like spiritual speed bumps. They get your attention, they slow you down, and they force you to look around. And also, and you touched on this earlier, when you started reading the Bible, you had a desire to know what it said. And if somebody's right. interested in what something says, they're going to read and they're going to want to learn. But in this day with Twitter and all these text messages and everything, people's vocabulary really is shrinking. And there's a lot of words that we don't use as much. And you had mentioned the word engrafted. Let me take that one first. Engrafted is a great word, and a lot of people don't understand what grafting is. They would take a tree. For instance, you can buy it. You could go to a nursery, a plant nursery, place selling plants, and you could trees. You could buy an apple tree that produces on the same tree golden delicious, red delicious apples. So you got red apples on one part of the tree and yellow apples on the other part of the tree. And what they did is they make a cut into a portion on the trunk of the tree, and they insert a twig that's been cut from another tree. For instance, they'll have a rootstock that might not be either red delicious or yellow delicious apples, and they'll cut the trunk off, and they'll insert two grafts in there, a twig from a yellow delicious apple tree and a twig from a red delicious apple tree, and they tie it up together, and then they'll take root in that tree. And that's used for a great reason, because over in Romans chapter 11, it talks about the difference between the believers today and the Jewish people. And this is where the word engrafted is a good word. In Romans 11, starting in verse number 18, it says, let's go back up. I got to go back up here a little further. Verse 16, for the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. If the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boastest, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. And then it goes on, verse 19, thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. And it goes on to talk about grafting in these other branches into the root. Well, the root really is Christ. And the Gentiles literally were grafted into Christ. And we have been put in him, and we grow in him. He's the root. We're the branches, the Bible says. And yeah. We can see where Israel was broken off for a time, but that passage in Romans chapter 11 says that they will be grafted back in, and they will be saved. The Jewish people will come to Christ eventually as a people, but right now God's working through the Christians. And there's neither Jew nor Gentile in Christ, the Bible says. And so we can see when it uses in James 1:21 the meekness of the engrafted word, or receive with meekness the engrafted word, that literally means your heart being opened up and the word of God being placed within it so it can begin to grow within your heart. Just like when we trust Christ as our Savior, we're grafted into Christ. And we're placed in him and begin to grow in him. Just like the twig from a yellow delicious and a twig from a red delicious are grafted into the rootstock of the apple tree, and they begin to grow in it and becomes a part of them, and they become a part of it. And that's a great word. Now, yeah. You get a lot more out of that passage if you take the time to learn what graphing is and why this word is used here. Then it begins to make sense. When I hear the word of God, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word. It literally is placed in my heart. The Holy Spirit opens up my heart, places the word in there. It begins to take root and grow within my heart. And I begin to gain understanding, and then, of course, it's going to produce fruit. Hopefully, the fruit of salvation when we trust Christ as our Savior, and then as we continue to grow as a believer, it's going to produce fruit in terms of our serving, you know, the Lord and our witness for Him and our walk with Christ and all that. And then you also said about the word superfluity, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Superfluity, that's a great word too. And when you if you break down the word fluity, that reminds you of fluid, like of water running. And everybody's familiar with Superman. He's a man with powers beyond that of ordinary mortals, right? Because he's super. Yeah. And it means a greater than normal. And so when you look at the word superfluity. Fluidity, you're talking about fluid water, stuff running. Something is fluid means it runs like water. And superfluity would mean overflowing or a super flowing of naughtiness or an overabundance of naughtiness. And so that's what we're laying aside, you know, when we trust Christ as our Savior. We're laying aside the filthiness of our own sin nature, which is overflowing with naughtiness. And we don't always use the word naughtiness today. Most of us heard that word when we were kids. You know, we were told not to be naughty, or we were told we were being naughty and all. But it means bad behavior, doing wrong things. And the unsaved person, the heart is filthy with the sin nature, which causes an overabundance or an overflowing of bad activities, bad things, bad deeds, wickedness. And that's the natural man. That's why we need to have the Word of God literally graft into our heart to become a part of us, to not only lead us to salvation, but to keep us from doing the things that our sin nature wants us to be. And, you know, just a little quick word study right there. Look how much we gain from that passage. Rather than just changing the words, we define them and look at why they're there. And that's what people need to do. And you touched on it. When you wanted to learn, you drank the Word of God up. And some things in it are easy to understand. Some things are difficult to understand. They take time. Some things are the milk of the Word, as the Bible says. And some things are the meat of the Word. And when you get a small child, when a newborn baby comes into the world, you don't fix a sirloin steak for it and sprinkle some steak sauce on it and fry up some mushrooms and onions and put on top of it and say, here, you know, give it to the one-year-old child to chew on it and eat it. Even if they could get it down, their stomach's not developed enough to digest it properly. They need milk. And new Christians are going to stumble over some things in the Bible because they're still drinking in the milk. And but as that baby grows and consumes milk, it becomes stronger, and then it graduates to solid foods, and eventually it grows into a young person that can easily handle a steak. And if he didn't, you would think something was wrong with them. And so Christians, when you're new, you need to allow the Holy Spirit to help you to receive the milk of the Word so that you can grow. And as you begin to grow, you begin to learn things. And as you begin to compare Scripture with Scripture and you begin to see the words and begin to understand them and look them up, or perhaps you go to church and the pastor explains them, you begin to mature to where you can handle the meat of the Word. And so a Christian that's been a Christian for 20 years that can't handle the meat of the Word is like a person that's 20 years old that's still drinking milk and not eating anything else other than milk and maybe some, you know, baby food out of the jar, you know, little sauce and everything. We'd say something's wrong with them. And say something's wrong with a Christian if they don't grow and learn these things. But they got to put in the effort sometimes and all. And
I think too, a key, you know, when you, I was a key to it is in understanding the Word too, is I accepted Jesus Christ.
Right.
And when I was, and then I, by doing that, God's Spirit come and dwelled in my mind and my soul, and the Spirit of God gave me the ability to understand the word so I could drink it. Like, it'd be like, I think it would be like a newborn baby trying to drink before it was born. A lot of times we can read mm-hmm. the word, but if we're not born again first,
right,
we don't understand it. And I think a key for me was accepting Christ as I first began to read, because then I had God's Spirit to interpret the Bible, and I think that helps us over the difficult words, you know.
Oh, and that's absolutely true, because when you trust Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit of God it takes up a residence in your heart. And when He takes up a residence in your heart, when you're reading the Bible, you can ask the author of the Bible. Remember, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, the Bible says. Holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so we can go to the author, and we can say, now, Lord, You gave us this. I don't understand it. And right. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the Bible said, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit teacheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. He goes on to say, verse 12, now we receive not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. That's what happens when we get saved, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. God wants us to know these things, but at the same time, He wants us to make a little bit of an effort into learning. You know, if you exercise and you want to gain muscle, you don't pick up 5 pounds and say, well, that's all I'll do is 5 pounds, because, you know, 10 pounds is too hard. You know, if all you can do is 5 pounds, you start with 5 pounds. And then you add weight on until eventually you can do 10 pounds. Then you say, well, I'll just stick with 10 pounds because 20 pounds is too hard. No, you start adding weight and challenging yourself until eventually you build up the muscle that 20 pounds is no big deal. And you say, well, I'll stick with 20 pounds because 50 is too much. That's just too hard. No, if you want to build muscle, you'll keep challenging yourself and you'll keep adding weights so that eventually you get to 50 pounds and up 100 pounds and you keep going up. And the way you keep going up is by exercising your muscle that you already have, and it challenges your body to build more muscle so that you can do more. And when you're reading the Bible, there are things that are easy, and if you just stick with that, you're going to miss so much. But if we challenge ourselves and search the Scriptures and ask God to help us, we're going to begin to understand the things that we can, and over time, our mental muscles and our spiritual muscles are going to increase and grow, and we'll begin to understand more as time goes by, and the Holy Spirit begins to reveal things and teach us things. But I was there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me jump down to verse 14, where it says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. If somebody says, I just can't understand that Bible, I'm not even going to waste my time on it, and they claim to be a Christian, maybe they ought to double check. Are they really saved? Because it says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. And previously, it said that God gives us these things that we might know the things that are freely given us of God. He wants us to know things, but He also wants to challenge us so that we can learn and grow. And people like challenges for the most part. And that's why people do crossword puzzles. That's why people do, word searches and math puzzles and things like that. And people play games because they like challenges. Except when it comes to the Bible, all of a sudden they want to revert to spiritual infancy and have somebody pop open a bottle of pre-digested pre-chewed, pre-digested spiritual truth and then spoon it into them. But God wants us to grow so that we can become workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Yeah. I like John chapter 15, and we were talking about the grafted word, where mm-hmm. Jesus said, I am the true vine.
Right.
And my Father is the husbandman. You know, abide in me, verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. You know, I can't help people know the Lord except God do it, you know. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of its own, except it abide in the vine.
Exactly. And I can't do this prayer. I can't serve God. I can't do these things without his strength. It's the root. That's what gives me the support. That's what gives me what I need to be able to serve him.
Right. And one other thing in that James chapter 1, verse 21.
Mm-hmm.
We have a little ministry. It's called Amazing Grace Mission.
Right.
And we're going to be down at Canal Fulton tonight. And if any, you know, we got a lot of people on the listening, I'm sure, that can pray. And I would ask people to pray that we might be able to lead more souls to Christ. We have a booth where we explain the gospel. And if Christians would pray, that there'd be open hearts for it. And if anybody wants to come down, it's a great day to come down to Canal Fulton and see our work and see a lot of other booths there. In this verse in James chapter 1, verse 21, it says about the engrafted, let's see here, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls.
Right.
And that's the part I look to. You know, what is our goal in reading the word? And this verse here tells us that by reading the word, it can save your soul. So I don't know anything more valuable than that. So
well,
I just wanted to add that.
Yeah, and it's like I said, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, because a lot of people, they basically think I'm a good person. I'm getting through life, and I'm not as bad as somebody else, until we read the word of God. And the word of God lays, you know, open the dark recesses of the heart as we read it, and the Holy Spirit begins to work in our heart, and we begin to realize, as the Bible says, that we've sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we realize that because of our sin, as we see that the wages of sin is death, we realize, you know, we don't deserve heaven. And that's the key. You know, we've talked about people that we pray for, people that need to be saved, and we said a lot of times we were talking about somebody at our prayer meeting last Wednesday night, and said maybe they need to see that they're lost. And that's the problem, because we justify ourselves. But when we hit the word of God, it gets into our heart and begins to open up our heart, and we begin to see our sin, and we see the perfectness of a holy God, and we begin to understand that a holy God cannot let a sinful person into heaven. That's what the Bible tells us, and gives us lists of sinners, liars, thieves, murderers, and things that cannot go into heaven because of sin. It's sin that keeps us out of heaven. But then when we realize that Jesus Christ, who's God literally in the flesh, lived a perfect, holy life, kept the law, never sinned because he was God manifest in the flesh, and then he went to the cross where he shed his blood to pay for our sins, then we understand there's a way for our sin to be paid for. I can't pay for it by going to church enough or giving enough or doing enough. All I can do is claim what Jesus did, as he shed his blood and died to pay for my sins. And the Bible says he was buried and rose again the third day victorious over sin and death, and that all who will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I like that. That's what the Word of God tells me. And we're out of time there, Greg. Thanks for the call. And I want to encourage people. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, pick up the Bible. Ask God, God, if you really exist, open up your Word to me. Engraft your word into my heart that I can learn, so that I can understand that I need to be saved. And then trust Christ as your Savior. And you put your faith in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into your heart, the Bible says, your sins are forgiven, and you have a home in heaven with the Lord for all eternity. And then you can begin the exciting adventure of growing in the knowledge and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and his word. Well, God bless. Thanks for being with us today. Join us again next time.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by calling 330-659-6561 or by writing Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Pastor Al invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday night at 6. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express from 7 to 9. You can learn more about Pastor Al and the Bible Baptist Church online at live.maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation with Pastor Al this Sunday night at 11 p.m. and again next Friday afternoon at 1:30 on AM 1220 The Word.